It's Marketplace Tech Report from APM. I'm John Moe. When you're running around town and want to check email on your smartphone, you connect to a data network through a nearby tower run by your carrier. What if we connected with each other instead? My phone served as your tower. Your phone was someone else's. That's the idea of mesh networks. It's been tried in other parts of the world, but never on a wide scale in the U.S., at least not yet. Jonathan Zittrain is co-founder of Harvard's Center for Internet and Society. Our phones, he says, are basically two-way radios.
What if we could use those radios to talk to one another? And kind of like the way you pass beer at a Red Sox game across the row from one person to another in order to get it into the middle of the row, we could get data moved around that way too.
I see this as kind of working in a tight urban environment where there's lots of signals and it's, you know, wouldn't be hard to connect from one to another. But does it work better there, or does it work better in a rural area where people need to be more like antennae?
Most mesh networking implementations work better the more people there are, the nearer to one another. And that can be where there is a lot of congestion. Everybody tries to make a phone call after a home run at that Red Sox game, and now nobody can because the network is overloaded. A mesh network would say, in theory, wow, all of those people together can communicate through one another and actually make a much more robust network than if they were in the field of dreams and no one else was around.
Zittrain doesn't see mesh networking making Verizon or AT&T obsolete, but in some scenarios it could come in handy.
If a tsunami should come through, or a hurricane, or some kind of attack, and the usual networks are down, you can't get a cell signal, or you can't get broadband anymore the usual ways, we still all have our two-way radios.
So how do we use them in that situation?
Suppose your phone had a copy of your Facebook credentials on it. And if trouble comes through and there's no easy way to communicate, you either have a brick in your hand, it's just useless, or you can talk to other people near you who in turn their phone can talk to other phones near them, and you get this sort of local net going. And then you say, are any of my Facebook friends nearby? You could see that being very useful in times of trouble to communicate and to locate people who want help.
Jonathan Zittrain of Harvard's Berkman Center for Internet and Society. He says mesh networking may be hard to imagine now, but there was a time when we said the same thing about Skype or voice calls over the internet. We're online at marketplacetech.org. You can read our blog posts, catch up on previous shows, and sign up to receive a daily memo of everything that's happening in the world of tech. We don't really have stockades or scarlet letters in our society, but there's still plenty of public shaming online. WeKnowWhatYou'reDoing.com is a site that says it's dedicated to urging people to make their Facebook updates private. This is done by displaying public posts in categories like Who Wants to Get Fired, complete with the names of the boneheaded posters.
New TV and I gotta wait a week to watch it. I hate my boss.
And Who's Hungover?
I am quite hungover, but what an awesome night.
Then there's the Who's Taking Drugs category.
Smoke W-E-E-D every day.
Over on Twitter, you can find the @NeedADebitCard account, retweeting photos people have taken of their debit or credit cards, complete with numbers and name and expiration. Tweets like,
my credit card came in the mail today, hooray!
And,
my debit card is too legit to quit.
And
finally got to renew my debit card.
I don't know if public shaming can change behavior, especially because if you're oblivious enough to make these things public, are you really aware enough to fix the problem? This is Marketplace Tech Report. I'm John Moe.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.